Locked up, they won't let me out. And I had a long day in court, stress me out. Won't give me a bail, they can't get me out. Now I'm headed to the county, gotta do a bid here. I'm used to living luxurious, I don't wanna live here. The walls is gray, the clothes is orange. The phones is broke, the food is garbage. A lot of niggas is living with these circumstances. SP's the same, I still murk your manses. Drug money, the rap money, work advances. Ran and told I should have murked the Kansas. Got popped for a murder attempt. Knocked me on D block when I was burning the hemp. Had a brick in the stash, hope they don't take it to a further extent. Locked up and they won't let me out. When I hit my cell block, know the threat be out.
I'm steady trying to find the motive. Why do what I do? Freedom ain't getting no closer. No matter how far I go, my car is stolen. Registration, cops patrolling, now they done stop me and I get locked up.
They won't let me out, they won't let me out.
Locked up,
they won't let me out, no. They won't let me out,
locked up,
they won't let me out, they won't let me out.
This is Rise of Radio and my name is Q. Today we have with us Rebecca George. And we're going to be hearing the case of Adam Gray, who for 11 years has been in jail. At the age of 14, only 2 weeks, he was sentenced has been sentenced to adult incarceration. Hello, Rebecca, are you there?
Hi, Rebecca.
Hello.
Somehow we seem to have lost Rebecca, but Rebecca came across Adam as an art therapist while he was incarcerated at a juvenile detention center. And since then, Adam has been moved into an adult prison, and he's 25 right now and is coming up to the last possibility of being released from jail, receiving clemency. So we're going to try to get Rebecca back on the phone so she can talk about her advocacy work on behalf of Adam.
Okay, well, I'll give some facts to this. At age of 14, Adam was convicted on charges saying that he was part of an arsonry and that a building was burned down and two people died of smoke inhalation. And because of this, he was sentenced with an adult charge.
Well, Rebecca's line is busy. We had her and we lost her. We're going to keep listening to Akon and his Locked Up song while we try to get Rebecca back on the line.
I don't want to live here. The walls is gray, the clothes is orange. The phones is broke, the food is garbage. A lot of niggas is living with these circumstances. SP's the same, I still murk your manses. Drug money, the rap money, work advances. Ran and told I should have murked the Kansas. Got popped for a murder attempt. Knocked me on D block when I was burning the hemp. Had a brick in the stash, hope they don't take it to a further extent. Locked up and they won't let me out. When I hit my cell block, know the threat be out.
I'm steady trying to find the motive. Why do what I do? Freedom ain't getting no closer. No matter how far I go, my car is stolen.
Registration,
cops patrolling, and now they done stop me and I get locked up.
They won't let me out, they won't let me out.
Locked up,
they won't let me out, no. They won't let me out,
locked up,
they won't let me out. They won't let me out,
locked up,
they won't let me out, no. They won't let me out.
Heading uptown to couple peeps, the corner blocks on fire, from the covers dressed as fiends, making so much money, products moving fast, put away the stash, as I sold the last pack, down and got locked up,
they won't let me out, they won't let me out,
locked up,
they won't let me out, no.
The
This is Saki for Ariza Radio on WBAI 99.5 FM. We're still experiencing difficulties with getting Rebecca back on the phone. We had her, but we lost her, unfortunately. So we have Leanne Caldwell here to tell us about a project, Radio Roots. But before Leanne goes into that, I just wanted to mention that Akon song, again, was locked up. And increasingly, juveniles are not only being locked up, but being tried and sentenced as adults. And most recently, a heated debate is about the constitutionality of juvenile death penalty. And since 1973, 22 juveniles have been executed in the United States, and 80 still remain on death row. The Supreme Court is hearing Roper versus Simmons. And that's increasingly becoming a hot topic. And the reason why we were having our guest on today, who Rebecca is actually on the line with us, so Q can continue doing the interview, is to discuss and begin to talk about the sentencing of juveniles as adults.
Okay. Rebecca, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Now, we were talking about a little earlier in a pre-interview of Adam's case. And I just want to see if you can go into how his case began, being that he was 14 and then that he was charged with arsonery. If you can just go into that a little bit.
Sure. In Illinois, a lot of juveniles are transferred to the adult criminal system, sometimes as discretionary transfer, and that would be up to the judge, or as an automatic transfer, depending on the crime that they're charged with. One of the main problems with this, of course, is that it's still alleged at the point that they're transferred from juvenile court so that they don't need to actually be found guilty in the juvenile world before they are transferred and tried as adults. In Adam's case, he was a discretionary transfer because two people died as a result of a fire that he was charged with that crime, and the judge found that to be serious enough to transfer him to the adult court. Once in the adult system, mandatory natural life is the law in Illinois for if you're found guilty of two or more murders.
Wow.
Wow.
Now, going back to when the case began, it was 1993, and he was 14.
It was actually 1994,
I'm so sorry about that. I just want to know that you spoke of some discrepancies and some issues dealing with his interrogation and arrest. Maybe you can go about that.
Yeah, actually, it's actually legal in Illinois to interrogate a juvenile without a guardian there. What the law states is that the police need to make a reasonable attempt to contact the parent or guardian, and in failing to provide their presence with the juvenile, that they need to have a youth officer there. Obviously, that's open to interpretation. His mother and an older brother were present at the police station after his arrest, and they were not permitted in the room with him, and he was not told that they were there.
Hmm.
After 5 hours of interrogation, he agreed to admit to doing the fire because he believed that in doing so, he would be able to go home. This was promises that were made by the assistant state's attorney and the detective that were interrogating him for a five-hour period of time. At the time that the court reporter came in to take that statement, which was rehearsed, then a youth officer entered the room. However, the youth officer never explained to Adam, who was 14 years old, what his Miranda rights actually meant. The youth officer didn't read him his Miranda rights, the state's attorney did. There was no interpretation or benefit offered by having the youth officer present.
Okay, and how did you come about meeting Adam?
I met Adam when I worked at the juvenile detention facility here in Cook County, which is the largest in the United States. I ran an arts program there for several years, from 94 to 97. And so I met Adam shortly after he became detained there.
Okay. Rebecca, thank you very much for being here today on Rise Up Radio.
And Rebecca, I wanted to quickly ask, what efforts have been made in rectifying Adam's case?
Well, there's a lot of efforts being made, and the problem with it is that in post-conviction law, there's a lot of limitations to what you can do. For example, last year we discovered two witnesses who saw someone other than Adam at the scene of the crime. It's been 12 years since he was arrested, so their testimony has never been heard. But the way the post-conviction law works is it has to be newly discovered, meaning we could not have found it at the time of his trial. They said they would have told if somebody had asked them. The police never canvassed the neighborhood. So therefore, it's not considered newly discovered evidence, and we can't get a new trial based on it. What we can do with the information and what we are doing with it is sharing it with the governor of Illinois as part of Adam's clemency petition, which he filed 2 years ago. I was wondering if I could possibly give people some information, contact information, if they want to follow up with me.
Yes, please.
That would be great.
Yeah.
We have a signature petition circulating. We need 10,000 signatures in support of Adam's clemency petition. Right now, there's going to be a website that should be up, but right now it's not yet. If you want to sign the petition, please email me your name, address, including zip code, at Rebecca, R-E-B-E-C-C-A, underscore, George, G-E-O-R-G-E, at MSN.com. And or you can write a letter to the governor of Illinois. Do I have time to give his address?
Yes, please do.
Okay, it's the Honorable Rod Blagojevich, last name spelling B-L-A-G-O-J-E-V-I-C-H, at the office of the governor, 207 State House, Springfield, Illinois, 62706.
Is there any information on how people can contact you in case they didn't get a chance to write that information down? Is there an email or a number?
If they contact me at Rebecca underscore George at MSN.com, I'll be happy to give them the governor's address and give them more information about the case.
Okay, great.
I have a question. This is Jessica. The interrogation procedures that you were just talking about, specifically that they didn't tell him that his parents were there, you know, that they didn't deal with this minor in the correct way. That seems to be somewhat widespread. Like, I've heard about this happening a lot. I think it happened with the Central Park jogger case with those teens. Can you talk a little bit more about that, about how widespread this is? And I don't know if you...
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of misperceptions on the part of the public in terms of what tactics are actually legal for interrogation. Officers are legally permitted to lie, to deceive the individual that they're interrogating as part of a tactic to get them to confess. A lot of people don't know that. Juveniles especially, they believe that the criminal justice system is fair and that people who are arrested and sentenced for a large part are guilty, when that's really not the case. There's a lot of different reasons and why people, you know, get found guilty in a court of law, and it really doesn't have a whole lot to do with truth or guilt or innocence. The interrogation procedures are the very first step in that system. And I would even say that the root of that